I believe in aliens. I believe that they exist. I believe in aliens. If you don't believe, I'll stop you in the face today. If you don't believe, I'll stop you in the face. I believe in aliens. I believe in aliens.
Welcome to the second ever episode of the Starry Time Podcast with Bran
and
Dave.
That's me.
But for that first full 5 seconds, my throat was like, I sounded like I was dying.
It's time for the first.
Dave, we're back.
We're keeping this shot. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
I thought you were telling me why we need to redo it.
No, I'm telling you why we need to redo it and also why we're not.
Oh, okay.
Dave, we're one episode in, and we got a lot of, feedback. And I think the thing that people gave us the most feedback about was our name.
Yeah, it's hated.
If people hate our name, like, why can't we just put the extra R in?
Well, Bran, let me just say this. One of the greatest philosophers of our day in the is Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
And she says it very multiple times.
What does she say?
In a new single, haters gonna hate, Bran. Haters gonna hate.
I have heard that, and it's true. So, Dave, we've made a decision to keep Starry Time spelled incorrectly.
But pronounced correctly.
Yeah, we're going to pronounce it Starry, but keep it. And for those of you that didn't listen to the first episode, it's Starry Time because it's like a story time, but about things of the stars and whatnot. So Starry Time. So we wanted to keep it with one R going corresponding with story, but people don't get it. People don't get it. People don't get
us. It's pure mathematics if you get down to it. It's really just you have to add in or subtract out and whether or not you have enough to make it. You know what I mean?
And Dave, if we stop something every time someone didn't get us, we wouldn't do anything.
I would still be in bed this morning.
So true. But we're not. Well, actually, I am lying in bed recording this right now.
But... And Brian, I want you to just tell everybody – because I actually think it's relevant what you had for dinner tonight.
Yeah, I had my wife is in Poland, and so I'm
Bran's
trying to
married. Bran's married. Yeah, we haven't mentioned before.
So I'm trying to figure out
4 dogs.
Yeah, well, 2 that are mine, one that's living with us.
Yeah,
that's irrelevant. My wife's in Poland, so I'm trying to figure out how to like eat, and so I went. And I found Star Wars Lucky Charms type things, and it was okay. It was like Pops meets Lucky Charms. If you remember, got to have my Pops, cornflake type things with marshmallows.
That cereal kind of embodies everything about the show. It's got the stars, and it's also got the lucky, like all these things
And it's like as sweet and fluffy as a marshmallow.
Right. Right, so, and Bran has it in his house. That's the last thing.
That's the most important thing is that's what I had, so I ate it. So I'm excited for my wife to come home. Dave, we're excited about this episode. It's kind of a continuation of last episode, but tell people what they need to know.
Okay, and I think that I even closed the last episode mentioning why I think that this one's a little it will hit home with a lot of people is the fact that Preston in this one really, this is, you could tell his real bread and butter, what he cares about.
Yeah.
First of all, like he,
well, I think it's not just what he cares about. It's something that he's like currently like figuring out. So he's passionate about it.
Yeah. He's very passionate about it. He speaks with passion about it. And that makes the conversation really good. But 2, he is very avid about how he thinks part of his passion is getting other people to participate as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just him like educating you on or informing you. It's more of a demonstrative / like trying to persuade you to, try these things for yourself. So I guess that what I would say to anybody listening to this podcast is, get into a place where you're going to feel very safe if you happen to accidentally fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because as Preston will say, some of the things he's going to recommend are almost the exact same type of things that would make you go to sleep. As a, as kind of like the steps that would lead you to possibly going into an out-of-body experience. Which I should probably say that's what we're talking about.
I was about to say, I think we just went through this whole thing and didn't mention what he's talking about.
Yeah, out-of-body experiences. And it's the most, one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had, because he really has done a lot with this. Like, he found out that he could do this thing, and then he has, but we'll just get into it and we'll probably discuss it more after.
We did this like 2 weeks ago, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning at that, cause he's on the West Coast, we're on the East Coast. So it just worked out to where we decided to do it at 11, but it was like a 2 hour interview. And so at this point, we're exhausted, and he's talking about this, but it's so interesting. And so I hope that people are interested and entertained by what's happening, because it's such an interesting topic that I had never heard about before.
And yeah, nothing about it. And it's all at once, everything unloaded.
And the fact and how it's all connected to me is one of the most interesting parts, like how this is connected to ghosts and UFOs and all of that is fat, like that to me was like, that's amazing how all that's like, it's very layered. Like for two guys who are skeptics and don't believe in anything, like it's so layered that it's and weird that it's almost believable.
It's almost, as Brent said, it like connects everything. For Preston, this is kind of his way of like the glue that holds all what he thinks and believes and his experience together. Like this is how it all, you know, just correlates to one another. It's interesting. Yeah.
We'll kick it to the news and then we'll come back with Preston Dennett here on Starry Time Podcast.
On Wednesday, former Pennsylvania police officer Fred Saluga said that Bigfoot and UFOs are connected. His theory stems from Oregon State National Park, where he believes a dimensional rift that Bigfoot can travel within lies within the caves. His theory is affirmed by Dr. Matthew Johnson of Team Sasquatch in USA, who has had his own paranormal experiences in the caves. Abroad, there have been several sightings of strange phenomena in the sky. Last week saw four mysterious glowing lights in the skies above Bordeaux, France, and just yesterday, a cigar-shaped object was spotted by a passenger jet flying in the skies near Italy. There's no word yet on if any Bigfoots were in the vicinity.
All right, we are back here on the Starry Time Podcast with Brain and Dave. We have our very special guest, once again, Preston Dennett. We've talked about UFOs, and now we are going into a crazy world of out-of-body experiences. Preston, let's just start with, what the heck is an out-of-body experience?
Right. Well, what it comes down to is we have more than our physical body. We have a dream body, if you will, or a astral body. And if I'm going to get technical about it, we have more than that. We have seven bodies, at least.
All right. What are the seven bodies?
I know how that sounds.
That's news to me.
We have our physical body, our etheric body, our astral body, our buddhic body, our causal body, our, you know, it goes on from there, atmic. I forget what the top one's called. They've got different names for this stuff. And I'm like, all right, but if, just for simple terms, let's just say we have a physical body and an astral body.
All right.
A dream body. And, you know, our physical body has certain abilities. We can walk, we can breathe, we can eat, all this kind of stuff we can do. And the astral body is the same way, but it's kind of the superior body, if I'm going to be honest. It's a much stronger body. It can fly, it can move through walls, it can stretch, it can teleport, you can actually do all kinds of things. You can, telekinesis, on the other side at least. You can do this kind of stuff. There's all kinds of crazy stuff you can do in your astral body. And an out-of-body experience is basically perceiving yourself as separate from your physical body. You look down at your physical body, you can see it. You can go to visit locations and prove that this is actually happening to you. It's crazy. It's unbelievable when it happens. It's like discovering a whole new world. And I cannot recommend it enough.
It's your dream body, but it's actually a body that, it's more than a dream, yeah?
Yeah. It feels, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, in the beginning, and this depends on the person, I think, it can feel very dreamlike. Because you're trying to wake up in a new world, in a new body, and transfer your consciousness into this astral body. So it can be a little confusing, dreamlike, and you can remember snippets of it. You have some memory problems for sure. That's pretty much normal. But after you start doing it, you know, regularly and more often, you start to have experiences that prove, you know, pretty much the first time you really do it, you know right off the bat, this is no dream. You're looking down at your body and you're freaking out. You're thinking, yeah. You know, I thought I died. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is, what have I done now? You know, this was pretty stupid. So the first time it was a couple, you know, it was scary the first few times. Very, very exciting the next 100 times. And it took me a long, long time to get control. I'm going to be honest. I was a couple of seconds for the first, you know, 10 or 20 encounters, and I had to work up to there to just have a minute of out of body. And only now, you know, more recently have I lengthened it to where I can control it more. But still, they're often really brief. Yeah.
It's almost like holding your breath.
It's definitely weird. You have to focus in a way that it's hard to explain. It's like, you know, you can learn a musical instrument, you can learn a foreign language, you can learn how to become a surgeon, you can learn all these skills. And that's basically what it is. It's just applied knowledge. You have to focus your awareness in this really kind of tightrope way to maintain consciousness. And that's all it really is. And you can walk through walls, you can fly to distant cities, you can fly to the moon, you can visit other people, you can go to actually what happens is it's really hard to stay in the physical plane. You start to get pulled to the other dimensions.
All right. Okay.
Where it's more interesting.
So hold on. You're saying that when we do this out-of-body experiences, there's a chance of us getting pulled into the same dimension as ghosts, demons, possibly aliens, that type of dimension? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if it didn't happen. Really, I mean, if you start doing this. Initially, when I did it...
That's terrifying.
You're perfectly safe. This is at least what I read, and I've had virtually, I'm not going to say no problems, but I've had very few problems doing this.
All right, what have the problems been?
And, you know, I think the evidence shows the opposite, that you have a lot more benefits. But, yeah, I don't think there's danger of being possessed or locked out or lost or anything like that. The worst I've had was, I popped out once, and there were these guys outside my house who were hostile. They were the, you know, murderous type of ghosts.
So you popped out of your dream body. You went back into your real body, and there were people at the door?
No. I was feeling the vibrations. I was doing the meditation, and I popped out of my physical body into
I'm with you now.
Astral body. And I'm wandering through the house. I'm like, this is cool. You know, I'm doing it again. This is amazing. I can't believe this. You know, this is crazy. And I walked through the front door, and boom, into these guys. We're walking, you know, down my front street, and saw me come zooming up to my patio there, and I'm like, because you know, I saw them, and these were not nice guys, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm leaving, you know, and I went back to my body, and that's probably the scariest I've had. I've had other, you know, scary stuff for sure. Once I'm flying around, I don't know if this was really scary. It was just kind of interesting to me.
Is there a danger to your body, like let's say that you're out of your body, and then you're these murderous ghosts. Can they harm you, or are you kind
of?
Yeah,
if you chose not to go back to your body, could they harm you?
Is your spirit in danger?
As far as I can tell, no. You know, but you know that doesn't make them any less scary. Because
so Preston, are you going to try it out one day? Are you going to try it out? You're going to stay there and confront them?
I'll probably do it. Yeah, you know, it takes a while to build courage up. Took me a while to fly through telephone wires because I thought, this is going to scare me. You know, I'm like, I know I'm non-physical here. It's not going to hurt, but I kept flying around them over and over again. I'm like, you know, one of these days I'm just going to fly through them, and I finally did it. And there was this buzz and a flash of light. I'm like, whoa! All right, that was a little scary, but nothing happened.
That's so true because you like in real life you go through those. Not so good for you. But if you can go through stuff, you know, what's the harm?
I finally got up the courage, and now I can go through it, and there's nothing. I don't feel them at all.
That's amazing.
And sometimes, I mean, you know, if you slow down, you can feel the wall. Other times you don't feel it at all. And so it kind of depends. Each experience is a little bit different.
Yeah.
One experience, you know, that was a little bizarre, which, you know, we're talking about dangers. I felt this hand grab my ankle. It was this little sucker finger type thing. Thought, oh, this is not good, because I was in that dark place that's sort of between dimensions. one of the, I'll call it the hellish realm. All right.
Go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Is what I'll call it because that's what it feels like.
There's agreed.
This dark barrier or dark realm that you kind of pass through when you go into the upper dimensions.
Oh.
And I felt this thing grab me and I peeled its little fingers off and I went on my way. Like, all right,
Preston, there's a chance you're the bravest person in the entire world.
You're just taking on things that I haven't even encountered, and you're encountered. You're just fighting them off.
Well, you know, I was scared to death of death. I have to tell you, after my mom died, I'm like, oh my god, this is horrifying. I did not react well. So this is kind of
what
inspired. I really wanted to find out if there was life after death. I wanted to find my mom. I ended up having these amazing reunions with her, which were unbelievable.
Really? You were able to have reunions with your mom?
Oh, yeah. And now, you know, I've known a number of people. I'm 50 years old now. I've probably known 5 or 10 or 20 people who've died. And pretty much everyone who's close to me, I've gone over and I meet them. I'm so, like, this is crazy.
So what do they say? What do they say about the other side? Is it like, is it heaven? Is it, what is it?
Well, you know, I'm not a religious guy, really.
Okay.
But it sure reminds me of a heavenly realm. I don't have a problem calling it that because sure. That's what it looks like. At least the place where I usually see people who, you know, quote, crossed over.
Uh-huh.
It's usually almost exactly the same place, really. It's very bright. It's this pastoral place. It's, you know, country, trees, beautiful brooks. The air sparkles. It's almost impossible to describe because the colors are really vivid. The best way I can put it is if everything was made out of light. It's kind of like this.
Sure.
Have you seen those billboards which are like lit from behind yep. as opposed to, you know, the cardboard ones?
Yeah.
I saw one of those. I'm like, oh, and it kind of hit me in the gut because that's what it reminded me of.
Huh.
The way the astral world is lit from, it's as if the rocks are lit up. It's hard to describe, but the higher you go, there's no shadows, and you can see, you know, 50, or what do you call it, 360 degrees around you. You can,
wow.
I don't know, it starts to get really wordless in a weird way and hard to describe.
Does your mother or your loved ones, do they describe a higher being at all? Or have you seen a higher being at all when you go into this area?
I haven't seen God on a throne. I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen anything like that. I've seen a lot of people.
Right.
I've seen animals. I saw what you would call the light, I guess. You know, you've probably read about it in near-death experiences or certainly heard about it.
Yeah.
People go towards the light. You know, don't go towards the light, Carol Ann, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I basked in the light, and it's amazing.
You went towards the light.
And I floated above it. I'm like, wow, you know, this feels like loving light. You know, it feels like a source is what it does feel like of loving light energy. I don't know if that's God.
Yeah.
How are you not religious is my question. Like, you've experienced it.
It's, you know, I've had a weird life on for sure. It's weird. You know, I started learning about, this was something that happened too with the out of body. I started getting pulled to past lives, which, you know, I initially didn't ask for really, but kept happening. And it was always like the death scene or the most traumatic incident or the most emotional incident.
Hmm.
And had a lot of lives as, you know, religious person, you know, a lot of lifetimes at sea. A lot of just different weird, bizarre memories that you're like, God, you know, what's this? What's going on now? This is bizarre.
This would have been reincarnation, you mean?
I'll call it that. I don't know. It feels like it. It feels like you're connected to these people who feel like you in a different body in a different lifetime.
Have you seen you in a different life in a different time?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as a black man, you know,
really,
in the Civil War,
oh, wow.
As a Indian in Native American times, doing a manhood challenge of some type. And
I have
to tell you, I remember this guy, our teacher, who was much older. There was three kids, and this guy put us through these rituals, you know, where we had to track him. He put us out in the wilderness. We had to track our way home. We had to climb this cliff with boulders on our back that we tied up in kind of this makeshift backpack. Weird stuff that, you know, I'd never read, certainly.
That's like a vivid memory, though, to remember all that about it.
Yeah.
Do you believe in karma? then?
Well, I hope it's true. I don't know. I'd like to think that, you know, good comes back to you. But I haven't gotten any answers in that particular area, you know, where people, angels will come down or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, karma is real. I have been taken to rescue lost souls. I wanted to try that. I went to the Akashic Library and saw a list of my past lives. I asked to see enlightened masters, and that happened. I was able to do that successfully twice.
Hmm.
That was really cool. So, there's all kinds of... I can't recommend this stuff enough. It's easy to do. We're all doing it every night. We're not remembering it.
Preston, can you do me a favor? I'm not ready to do this yet. I'm not ready to try this out yet. But what I want you to do tonight, when you do this, will you try to find Jesus and just see if he's there? I'm being dead serious. I want you to try this for me.
You know, I've made similar experiments. Again, I'm not to the point where I can just, like, lie down and do this.
Yeah.
You know, I probably could if I were to really buckle down and say, yeah, I'm doing this tonight. Darn it. You know, I'm going to do it. Because, you know, I can do it. I have it pretty regularly in ebbs and flows. I would say I have, you know, a couple every month at least, and sometimes a big bunch of them.
A big bunch at once.
And I've done that experiment, well, similar to it. I'm like, all right, I want to see God. Take me to God right now. And what happened was this bolt grabbed me and pulled me up through the ceiling really hard. I lost consciousness, and I, you know, woke up sometime later, and I felt good. I felt like I could levitate. I was amazing. I felt great.
Oh, wow. Could you?
I've never asked for Jesus. I'll try it.
That's my request from you. I just want to see, like, what you see, you know?
What I found is I always often get a different thing from what I expected. So it'll be interesting to try that experiment, and I love doing the experiments.
Thanks. Let me know how it goes.
And I want to...
it's request hour.
Request. Yeah, it's request hour. Right. Of the event. I want you to find me when you... You know what I mean? I just want to know what, like, can you, do you have the ability to, like, I don't know, someone in this dimension, like, that you would see me dreaming?
Right. No, and this is a great question, because I think this is where people call me up, like, hey, I'm not doing it. Why am I not doing it? I'm like, people grind their teeth in their sleep. They have their fists are clenched.
Yeah.
Relaxing is the key to everything. It will improve your life in a number of different areas. And, to do it, you imagine your muscle groups. You can use various symbolic devices. Imagine there's a group of construction workers all working there, you know, operating your body like you were some sort of robot, and blow the evening whistle and have them all walk out and leave. Just visualize this.
Okay.
Or this is a method that sounds crazy but actually works. Here's another good one. Imagine yourself standing beneath a waterfall and just feel the water pouring through you, and as if it's pouring through your body. And let it wash everything away.
Oh, that feels great. You know, I'm doing it right now. It feels great.
And imagine this type of thing. The real clue is not thinking about your body at all.
Right.
At some point, you're not going to want to start. You can tense your muscle groups and then relax them. And tense them and relax them. But at some point, you're going to want to turn away from your body. You're going to want to do a 180-degree mental turn, or turn inside yourself or outside yourself, or just spin kind of mentally in a way.
Hmm.
And don't think about your body. Don't think about your worries either, because that's not going to help.
Right.
Don't think about the movie you saw or the song that's in your head. There's multiple streams of consciousness that we all are entertaining at all times. And you can go diving right into this, and you'll fall into a dream. So you have to kind of like look past your thoughts a little bit,
okay,
and relax to the point where these thoughts are becoming images, and you can hear, you know, the voices in your dream. You can hear the song that you heard. You're relaxing to the point where you're at that crux right before sleep. It's a real trick. It's a little narrow window, but a lot of times you'll just fall asleep and you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you'll be out of body. But just doing that exercise is enough.
Wow.
So you might not expect to, like, you know, just have a fully conscious, like, I'm going, oh, my God, here I am. Because that's a little scary. I've had experiences where I'm lying down, I'm like, the vibrations come and whoosh, I'm flying out. No, well, you want to reach a point of physical relaxation where, like I said, you start to feel these vibrations. And to physically relax, yeah, that's the best thing you can do is just kind of turn away from your body and let go of it. Let it go.
Right.
Let it go.
And have a feeling of just releasing it. Yeah. Releasing it.
The thing I was going to say is that does sound exactly almost what the trick I would use to go to sleep. So I can see how that's really a difficult to stop yourself from going all the way to like going unconscious into the sleep state. Cause that doing that would just put me right to sleep. In fact, I almost went to sleep when I was trying to go through your construction worker thing. I was over here. I stopped talking for a bit.
Yeah. Well, and it ties to the second step really, which is cause this is tied to, you know, your mental awareness and your ability and your thoughts. And that's the second step is mental relaxation. Because we, like I said, we have this stream of consciousness and we want to quiet it down. And there's our ways you can do this. You can, you know, create a chant. You know, say, I'm going out of my body tonight. Tonight I will remember everything that happens to me. And don't allow any other thoughts. Yeah, I know we've got worries. And yes, we have bills. And maybe you don't have the perfect health or whatever. You know, yes, we've got problems. Don't think about those. Right now, we're going to do something else, and it's going to be, and it's called focusing on going out of body. So you say that over and over again, and you demand it. You know, appeal to your spirit guides. Do whatever it takes, because this is your right to remember what's going on at night. And this will make you a fully realized human being. Really, it's because we're missing half our lives. It's ridiculous when you start doing this. How much you realize you've missed. So. Very much focus on trying to remember what goes on at night and kind of focus your intent and your imagination and your desire on that. Wrap it all up in one and prime yourself up to go saying, I'm doing this. Darn it, I'm doing it. So that's the second step. So now that you're physically relaxed and you're like focusing on what you want to do, not, you know, paying attention to your worries, you're focusing on trying to go out of body, you start doing these visualizations and affirmations. And by that, I mean you visualize yourself. The best one for me is running down a path, just a nice slow jog, running down a wooded path or, you know, whatever. A street would work just as fine. I've done that. And that pulls you right out. There are a lot of different ways. Most of them involve movement of some kind. A real good one is spinning in place, kind of like Wonder Woman does. That'll twirl you right out. It can be a little vertigo-inducing, but it works.
Right.
Another is to roll out of bed. Another is to imagine yourself on a swing set or the bow of a boat or an elevator. These types of things that involve movement work really well.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't the only ones. There's, you know, 50 ways to leave your body, I like to say. Another is to visualize a pole or a rope above you, and you reach out, and if it will feel 100% real. You can feel the fibers on this rope or the cool metal of this pole. It's crazy. And you pull yourself out, like, and you feel this plop, like a soap bubble coming out. It's really cool. Or you know, different methods like that. A good one is visualizing a place you know really well or a person. This is what I call the love bridge. Visualize that loved one you know who's died, or for that matter, not died, you know, in another place, and call to them and visualize them, because that can pull you right out as well. All these methods work, and it's crazy because the hard part is, you're out now, but try staying conscious. Try not freaking out. You know, try to see. Try to learn how to move. You know, so this is all stuff you learn how to do, and it's awesome fun. You walk through walls. Oh man, you fly. You visit deceased loved ones. You learn about your past lives. You visit enlightened masters. I mean, this changes your life. You can cure yourself of a chronic disease. It is insane.
How would you do that?
Got, you know, 20 cases almost now. I've been collecting them and I'm writing about this, of people who've gone out of body and healed themselves of various illness, including, you know, colds and flesh wounds. And one guy healed himself of sarcoidosis, which is a liver disease. I went to a healing temple. It was so awesome. I couldn't believe it.
It's a healing temple.
This is what I wanted to do, because I keep reading about this stuff. I'm like, hey, you know, I haven't done this. Let me try this. Mm-hmm. And I did it. I went to Area 51 too, by the way.
Oh,
inside?
I was too scared. I got scared.
Great Preston, the guy that battled.
I thought the aliens are going to see me.
Yeah, Preston throws off the hand on his ankle, but he can't go inside Area 51 to investigate the UFOs.
I'm sorry, I chickened out.
Well, hopefully you'll get another chance, because I think that would be something else.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was there landing on. I mean, I was convinced I was there. And I went to this healing temple, popped through to one of the higher dimensions, kind of where that pastoral realm is.
Yeah.
And it was this big building. And I'm like, whoa, this is big. I flew through the ceiling. It was a domed building, dark, and landed on this kind of waffle-patterned floor, like an apple pie has those strips of dough over it.
Yeah.
Which are checkered, kind of. Well, these bars start moving back and forth and perpendicular directions. I'm laying on the back, spinning in a circle, looking upwards at this healing light, which is coming through these panels, which are carved in this way that I could not possibly describe, other than it's the most intricate and beautiful thing that I've ever seen and couldn't be duplicated on Earth, I don't think. It was too delicate, too multi-layered, and just unbelievable. And it spun me around for a while. I'm like, whoa, this feels cool. I didn't feel any real physical energy. I just felt like, I did. I felt really light and airy is how it felt, and just pure. Mm-hmm. And just that's how it felt. It was like it was purifying you.
So we've gone through the first steps. You said that you relax your body and then your mind. And is there any steps after that, or is that kind of mastering those two is how you?
Yeah, first physically relax, then mentally relax, and then you want to do these visualizations that will pull you right out.
Yep.
And after that, there's a whole list of exercises you can do, which I talked briefly about. But
the chance and the whatnot.
Right. But you just call it to your spirit guide or whatever, your higher self. It seems to work.
That is the third step. Gotcha.
One thing I do want to mention is, and this is really important, is because, it doesn't always work. There's different ways you want to approach this. And you want to approach this through your dreams, trying to become lucid in your dreams. You really want to remember your dreams. Each morning when you wake up, you want to remember what you were just doing, who you were with, where you were. And that works really well.
Hmm.
And here's the real clue, which apparently was only taught in secret schools back in the Middle Ages. And people were killed for this kind of information. But now it's free information, and all the enlightened masters want people to know. They want people to wake up and go out of their body. And the information is, this is how you go out of body. You ask yourself every day, as much as you can, am I out of body right now?
Hmm.
I know how that sounds, because it's crazy. Obviously, we know we're not. We know we're not dreaming.
Right.
But the problem is, when we're dreaming, when we're out there, out of body, 8 hours a day, at night, rather, it's so realistic, it never even occurs to us to ask, could I be dreaming right now? Is this an out-of-body experience? When it is. So if you ask this question every hour, every day, constantly, as much as you possibly can, you will do it at night, too.
And it'll help you remember what you're doing.
Right. And it's not enough just to ask. You have to look around, and look for clues. Because every single dream, almost without exception, I don't want to say everyone, but pretty much, has what I call a cue, a bizarre anomaly that is not like real life. I think these are sent from our higher self or something. I don't know. But most dreams have this.
Hmm.
And it's a clue to wake up. There are other, you have to test reality. You have to ask yourself, is this a dream? Am I out of body? It's not enough just to ask that. You have to try and stick your finger through your desk. Try to lean into the wall. Try to jump up and fly. You're going to look a little ridiculous. Maybe you could lift a pen and see if it levitates. That works well, just as well. And it's astonishing, because this, honest to God, is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be at work one day, like tired, and you're like, damn, is it 5 o'clock yet? I want to go home. Oh, yeah, I wonder if I'm out of body. And you put your finger through your desk, and you're like, oh, my God. And suddenly everything's really vivid. The desks fade away, and you're out there floating above your bed, or you're in the other side, or you are at work, and nobody's there. It's crazy stuff. This
just sounds
works.
Confusing. I would be so confused if that was my life. be working and all of a sudden be back at home on my bed. I would just not even know where reality ended and started.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting to say the least to find right. yourself out of body, but it works. It's a method that works, and you avoid all the kind of scary exit sensations of buzzing, which you know can feel like being electrocuted. Really, you might hear growling noises. You might hear roars like a jet. You can hear all kinds of sounds right. that, as you're exiting, which go away over time, usually. Sometimes I still hear them and feel them, but now I just pop out of body pretty easily. And
now, Preston, since you're in kind of the same realm as Ghost Star, are you a ghost yourself? Like, could you like mess with people, haunt people if you wanted to, or is it kind of a different thing?
Well, I've tried to. You know, I've certainly tried to mess with people, and I think that would be wild fun.
If you could convince me I could do that, then I would do that tonight.
And there are people who claim to have, you know, moved objects.
That's the thing. That's the thing that gets Brand. It's a good prank. That'll get him out there.
One guy was able to do it repeatedly over and over again, appears as a ghost to people. I haven't been able to do it. And it kind of started to become lower and lower on my list as all these crazy fun things were happening in other dimensions. But, yeah, you can do that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah.
You are a ghost, but you're one of the, you know, you'll meet people on the other side and they're like, oh, you're one of those astral travelers. Because apparently they can see your astral cord.
Yeah. Well, oh, okay. Preston, you're welcome to, after you meet Jesus for me, you're welcome to come and haunt my house and just mess with me if you want to, because I think it'll be really funny.
That was already my request, but we'll take, I'm first if you're going to do that.
Yeah,
me first.
True. All right. It should be easy enough to find you because, I don't know, there's this weird thing that can just take you to these people and areas once you have a hook on someone's energy, if you know what I mean.
That's wild.
That is crazy. So. I feel slightly like I'm going to, if I have anything weird happen, I'm going to give you a call, Vic. Was that you?
Just so you know, there's privacy is an illusion. There are people who are so good at this who can, you know, pretty much go anywhere. I haven't been able to do it to that level, but I've certainly, you know, visited people. For sure, yeah, I'll give it a try.
That's wild. Well, Preston, the last 2 hours have been mind-blowing. It's just a treat to be able to talk to you and somebody who is well-rounded in every aspect of the paranormal. So thank you so much for letting us ask you all these crazy questions. I can't say that I believe everything that you just said, but I'm a little bit closer now. I feel a little bit closer to believing.
Well, I do. I have one last question, and I told you I was going to ask you this. You said, You said at the end that a lot of this, all this stuff, kind of ties together. And I want to just, if you could explain what you mean by that, just as briefly as you can, just kind of explaining how we've already talked about how only 50% of people have really, like, will admit to have encountered these things. Does it open someone up to these experiences if they started doing more of this out of body practicing? Would they be more likely to experience aliens and ghosts?
I think there's something to that. There is a connection. I've found that a lot of the people who are seeing UFOs have also had haunting experiences. It's a loose connection at best, because like I said, not all people who have one unexplained experience are going to have all of them. But some people are blitzkrieged with this, and that was true in my case. And the UFOs and the out-of-body experiences and the ghosts kind of all came at once.
Yeah.
And there were these weird little bleed-through cases. I had one case where a guy had a Bigfoot roaring around, stomping through his backyard. The next night, he had a UFO land there, and in the weeks that followed, he had this poltergeist breakout.
What a week.
Really? And those kind of cases turn up. So I'm not sure what to make of them. There was one case that always comes to my mind where this pilot had this really close-up UFO sighting and was interviewed by these military, you know, quasi-government officials, asking him all these details, threatening him not to report it, and then asked him this really weird question. Said, have you had any out-of-body experiences since this close-up sighting? And he's like, yeah. That's weird that you asked me that, because I did. And he had this very vivid experience of leaving his body and having, you know, this astral travel experience. So I thought, wow, you know, that's weird, because I feel like almost that's what happened to me. I found out about UFOs, and you know, next thing I know, I'm flying out of my body, and this is insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is something to this. I think when you wake up to this stuff, you start to see that you can experience all of it if you really want. I mean, if you want to see a ghost, it's not impossible to do. There are places where ghosts appear regularly. UFOs are flying around in certain areas. If you hunt them down, you can see this stuff. They're all connected to consciousness in some respect. The whole universe, you know, I've learned this with out-of-body experiences mostly, is pretty much all just projections of our own mental constructions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're all one. We're all tied together in ways that are unbelievable. So, it's all connected for sure. I don't think UFOs are the same as out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences. I don't think that Bigfoot is an alien necessarily or anything like that. They're separate stuff. And I think it's a mistake to mishmash this stuff. But
yeah.
I sure do wish people will try this out-of-body stuff for sure. That's my real passion because it hits home and will change your life and it will make you... it will amaze you and prepare you for death in a way that you won't even fear it. I still fear it, if I'm going to be honest. But, boy, the experiences you can have are incredible.
Amazing. Preston, if people want to get in contact with you, read more about what you've written, where can they find you on the internet machine?
Oh, and also, what book would you recommend as for the out-of-body primary starting point for that?
Right. Well, I would recommend my own book, Out of Body Exploring.
That's
Beginner's
a great
Approach.
Book to recommend, yeah.
Because I think it's accessible to people who are a little bit intimidated by this subject. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gotten some flack from people's like, oh, you're talking about your dreams. I'm like, well, you know, it starts out that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of them are like lucid dreams. But towards the end, all out of body stuff. Just a note there. And so that's the book I would recommend. But there's a lot of literature out there. Anyone who wants to contact me, just Google my name, Preston Dennett. And that's two N's, two T's. And it will take you there. The actual web address is prestondennett.weebly.com. And I've got all my books there. I've got excerpts. You can contact me through my website. And I'm always happy to, you know, hear people's experiences if they've seen a UFO or had, you know, an out-of-body experience if they have questions or whatever. But I love this stuff. I think it's a very important subject. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really
appreciate
it.
Yeah, and after you find Jesus and haunt Dave, make sure that you let us know. We'll have you back on. All right.
And teach Brand to prank people. I'll tell you what. If I live in New York City, the minute I see a UFO, you're the first person I'll call and let you interview me.
All right. Yeah, please do. And yeah, try this stuff. Some people get out about it on their first try. Just so you know. So be prepared.
That's kind of scary.
Strong buzzing and boom, you'll be out.
You might get a call from Dave tomorrow, like freaked out.
Yeah. If I learn to do that, and I'll just go find your spirit and I'll talk to you there.
That's right.
All
right.
And we can have an argument and see if I remember
it. Yeah, the astral planes. Sounds like a plan.
I'll see you there, bud. On the other side, literally.
All right.
That was Preston Dennett talking to us about out-of-body experiences. Preston joined us last week talking about UFOs again this week. So thank you, Preston. We appreciate it. You can find more information on Preston on our website, Starrytime, at Weebly.com, I think is our website. And you go on guests, and all of his information in his bio is right there.
Brand.
Yeah.
Are you going to try it?
What do you mean? Out of body experience. No, I'm not going to. Me and my wife were talking. I just want to say my wife as much as possible so that people know that. Me and my wife of a year and a half were talking about this. It's really weird. Like, I think it's darker than he makes it sound. Like, I don't buy the fact that there's nothing. Like, he's so positive. Like, I don't get it. He says there's nothing bad that could happen, but he tells stories of people
grabbing
his ankles and people showing up at his door. Like, that to me is like, what do you mean nothing bad can happen?
I think it just means that Preston is a brave and lucky man. And he's had no trouble so far.
Yeah, so, yeah, Preston's still alive, but that doesn't mean that there's, like, I was listening to Art interviewed him about this a couple weeks ago, Art Bell, and he asked him a great question. He was like, how do you know that, like, people who have died didn't die while trying to do an out-of-body experience? You know what I mean? Like they something bad happened, they died, and they can't tell you about it.
Especially like those the more kind of like weird deaths that are that are unexplained. You know what I mean? The people that just kind of died having like a weird, even a stroke. If you think about it, like that could be a type of thing that was caused from your brain activity during one of those things, like freaking you out.
Could it be that person died from being lost in an out of body?
Yeah, which is a far-fetched in the sense that as skeptics, we don't even – like we're talking about this if it was true. Like,
yeah.
Not necessarily that it is, but if it is, then that is definitely a concern that you would want to have.
Yeah. I mean Caitlin, my wife of a year and a half, said that –
Yeah. Isn't Caitlin your wife?
Caitlin's my wife. And she said – she was like, do you think that it's possible? And I said, I don't think it's possible. Like I don't think it's a thing that people do. But – you know, I think she was kind of like, yeah, like, I think it's possible.
Well, here's the thing. I think you really have to get specific because I'm convinced that Preston's telling the truth about his
perspective. No, I agree that he's telling it. Yeah.
I think that the thing is when you're in the dream world, is it just a dream?
Yeah, it's just a dream.
A dimension. You know what I mean? Or is it a dimension? That's the question.
Everything that Preston said to me was things that I can do in a dream.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that he said that sometimes he can find the people that he wants to find, like, that's a dream. Like, sometimes I can dream about what I want to, and sometimes I can't. That's what happens in a dream.
But what he was arguing is that dreams are – he wasn't saying that what you're doing and what he's doing is different. He was saying that if you properly control it, that you control the dreams, and that the same dream world that you're in is the dimension. But he was saying that a lot of times you don't remember it. And so you – like one of his things was he said how much wasted time of your life there is because you can't remember your dreams. And if that's actually part of your life, like that's a dimension of your life and you just don't remember it, then that is like a third of your life. Like if you sleep 8 hours a night, a third of your life that you are missing out on. Which the interesting thing about that is the reason I was just kind of like on board with that is that I think that and it's scientific, like at least from what I've seen, like on a couple other different like documentaries and stuff, there are things you can do to better remember your dreams. And when you do that, it actually is supposed to be helpful in that it just like dreaming kind of allows you to, you know, just see things that you don't know that are you're thinking about. Like, I don't know, it just kind of is a different part of your brain and your thoughts.
Yeah.
That if you're able to remember them could like, you know, reveal things. Some people have dreamed of things that they ended up doing in real life and they became a real thing. Like, I can't remember. I think it was maybe Leonardo da Vinci or something like that. Like he first dreamed of one of the things he designed. Like, so you can be inspired in your dreams, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's worth remembering them, but I don't know. I don't know how much I buy that it's, you can interact with somebody else physically from that place. That's the thing that
I don't buy that it's anything more than a dream that you remember well.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it's another realm. I think it's just a dream. Yeah. I don't know. That's just where I'm at. I just don't buy it. Yeah, like I don't buy that we can transport ourselves to the realm that aliens live in, you know? Like
that does beg the question, Brandon. If you think that it's just that, then why are you reluctant to do the steps he said, which essentially would then just be putting you to sleep?
I mean, I guess I'm not. I'm reluctant in. I don't know. I guess that's a good question. I think that's fair. I don't know.
Because for me, the reason I'm most willing to try his stuff is because I think it's harmless, not because of the reason that he said, where he's like, you know, you are really in the spirit world, but you're safe because you have your astral cord connecting you back to yourself. Like, that's not why I feel safe. I feel safe because I think that it is just your dream and that I'm not actually in any kind of danger. So if the tactic that he's talking about is a good way to lucidly dream to where you can kind of have a little more consciousness while you're dreaming, then I think it would be kind of interesting and maybe like would be an interesting part of, I mean, for the sake of entertainment, the same reason I would watch TV. Like, that would be an interesting thing to do.
I think the thing that we're going to find as we continue to talk to people is this, the idea of consciousness and how important, like, how we don't get it and how important that is to this whole. I think that to me is something that we're going to see time and time. I assume time and time again. Like,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, in order for aliens to exist, there has to be more than what we perceive. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with our consciousness. Like, we can only perceive what we feel and what we can understand
sense.
Consciously.
Yeah.
But if we can understand what we can't understand consciously, then we can begin to make sense of aliens. So I think that's something that we're going to probably see as we continue to talk to these people who have studied this time and time again, would be my assumption, mm-hmm. just in talking to Preston.
Right. And one of my something that I think is maybe one of the most interesting topics of all time, and within science is neuroscience. Mm-hmm. It's baffling to me how one of my all time favorite podcasts that I'll do a plug for is the You Are Not So Smart podcast. And the reason I love it is because it just brings light to the fact of how confused and misled we are in our day to day lives, just based on assumptions that our brains make.
Yeah,
that we don't have. Like, I mean, they have to, you can't think about all the things that your body's doing. Like, there has to be the involuntary part of your, mm-hmm. if you're like the fact that one of the things that blew my mind is how the eyes work, is how you're never really actually taking video. Like, most people would picture their vision to be video, but it's way more like a camera, and you fill in so much of the gaps just with like, your brain just does that, but you're not actually seeing anything. It's just kind of like, because you throw up if you're like had this jagged vision every time you turned around, you're like, it was rapidly like, you know, like getting all these shots. And so it's just a smooth transition. But that's just, it's crazy that we're so confident in our senses. Like, what you see is what you believe, which is why, I mean, if you see a UFO, no matter what anybody tells you, you saw it.
Yeah.
So you believe it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Which is weird.
Yeah, well, we're really thankful for Preston, and you can find out more about him on our website. We're excited. We got a lot of great episodes coming up in the next few weeks, including next week. We'll be talking to Michael Heiser, who is going to talk to us about how faith kind of plays into UFOs and kind of how our worldview, as Dave and I, as Christians, how do we kind of deal with this? Is it possible for us to believe in aliens and God? And what does that look like? So that's a fascinating interview. Really enjoyed that one. And so that'll be up next Friday. And following that, the following week, we're going to be interviewing the guys from Bigfoot Pad, I believe is what it was called. That's right?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're we're going to be talking about Bigfoot, which... You know, didn't expect us to do that, and so we are. So
you're going to get curveballs from the Starry Time podcast. That's just something you have to deal with if you're going to be a listener.
That's true. So we got a lot of – I'm really excited. Like, so far, I've really enjoyed – Dave and I have already done those two interviews, and I'm already, like, blown away at the – I don't know, how interested I am in what these people are saying. Like, it's just, like, a brilliant guest. Like, next week's guest – has his master's and is just a brilliant dude and was willing to sit down and talk with us. So I don't know. I'm blown away.
It's awesome. That's all there is to it. I love the people just that gain knowledge in this stuff. It's just so fascinating to see what they know. Cause I've said this again, many times, maybe even that, me and Brand just don't have a lot to say in and of ourselves, like just from ourselves.
We don't have a lot to offer.
We don't have a lot of content in ourselves that we can bring up. And that is not a problem in this next interview because he has so much that he is willing to just bring up that we just, it's just like amazes us. It's like for us watching a movie or something. It's just so great.
So look forward to that next week on the Starry Time podcast. If you have a guest that you're interested in wanting us to talk to, you maybe heard them on a different radio show or something, and you're like, I want to hear these guys interview them, you can email us at starrytimepodcast@gmail.com. Obviously, starry is spelled S-T-A-R-Y, duh. starrytimepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your guest request. We would love to hear who you want us to talk to.
Do it.
All right, Dave, thanks for hanging out with me.
Hey, Brand, if this is the only way that you ever hang out with me, and so this is why I came up with the idea for this podcast.
That's true. From Greenville, South Carolina.
And from New York City.
Have a great night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it?
Nailed it.